Okay, ladies. I would like to cover a lot tonight, so I'm going to ask you to hold your exclamations of challenge and frustration towards the end. To do that, I want to do the following. Just give you the framework of what we're trying to do today. I want to talk about, share with the book when they start dating, what I think are the two elements, significant elements of dating, and then understand the concept of research in that context. That's points one and two. Then I want to go through some of the sukkim mitzvahs which apply to the process of responsibilities towards sharing information correctly, etc. I want to talk about the four areas of Yisra of Lashon Hara, the concept of the Heter of Lashon Hara Toelis, then go through the different types of effects, impacts you can have, go through the eight conditions. I know that you know that there are seven conditions, there are eight conditions of saying Lashon Hara Toelis, and then we'll go through examples. Okay, so we've got a lot to cover tonight. Let's see if we can get it all in. Okay, so when the Bachurim start dating, I tell them that here's the two challenges that the person's dating. The decision to date is going to be probably the most significant decision a person will ever make in their lifetime. So obviously to make that decision, the person is going to have to be able to think this through clearly as best as they can. If a person gets emotionally involved, it's going to distract him and not going to be able to, or her, and not going to be able to make that decision. Point number one. Point number two, this is the most difficult decision you're ever going to make in your life, probably the most important decision you're ever going to make in your life, and to be able to do that, you need to be emotionally involved, to be able to feel comfortable connecting to this person. Now, if you hear a steer in those two parts, you probably should hear a steer into those two parts. And that's why, in that context, I explain the dating process, what I think the dating process, which is, of course, no system is perfect, but I think it's trying to create ability to say objective to a certain amount and be able to think it through intelligently. On the one hand, on the other hand, to create an emotional connection which will allow the person to get to the point where they're going to be comfortable to making that decision to be able to get engaged to somebody. Second thing I tell them is that people talk to me, they want to find their bershert. We know they have this wonderful word, bershert. It's an English word already by this point in time, probably. And I tell people to please do not look for their bershert, because you don't know what your bershert looks like. You have no idea how to find the bershert. Your bershert might be a shrew, and that's with a brush on the side for you, and you have no way to know what the person that you're looking for, that they're supposed to be. What you're supposed to do is use your intellect. That's the kelim the Bereshit gave you to try to understand the Bereshit expecting you to try and think this through as intelligently as possible and make a decision. That's what you're trying to do. Now, where does Bereshit play a role? It plays a role in two areas. It plays a role in number one, in the Bidiyavid. It worked out, Bereshit worked out. Didn't work out, Bereshit didn't work out. Right? So that means actually it has no relevance in your life at that point. The second area of Bereshit is that we have been talking in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We understand that the Bereshit runs the world. So as much as we're going to try and do, we understand there's so much you cannot do in a dating process. So you're going to have to trust the Kodesh Baruch Hu that he knows what he's doing. So part of that Bereshit, I believe, is the people who get called and what they're asked and what they say. So there's a famous story, which I don't know whether the story is true or not. They have it in some of these storybooks about, they call about information about a shidduch, and they want to know, is this family comfortable? They meant comfortable meaning financially successful. And the person who heard it thought comfortable meaning that they are very pleasant, comfortable people to meet with. Says, yes, they're very comfortable. Okay, we'll go ahead with the shidduch. They go ahead with the shidduch, and the people are quite poor. But since they said the word comfortable, instead of saying, are they rich, they ended up getting married. So that's Bereshit. That's where Bereshit plays a role. That they ask the word comfortable, then they ask the word are they rich, right? So that's where Bereshit plays a role. But the idea of you're not going to be manipulating that, it's not really relevant to you in any way, shape, or form. It adds you to your mitzvah b'tachon. As much as we can do, we do, and we trust the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to do the rest for us. So relax as much as possible. Okay. No exclamations of frustration until the end, please. Okay. So if the avoida over here is twofold, one is to try and do this as intelligently as possible, and what number, and that's a very, very significant point of the dating process, so you understand that it makes sense that we should try and think this through as best as possible. The Gemara says that a person should that a man and woman have to meet before they get engaged. So even in the Chassidish circles, you know, where they do that. There's a Tosfos which talks about the time of the Rishonim. The situations were very, very difficult. Sometimes it wasn't possible, and they would not follow that advice of the Gemara, and they would rely on the fact that things would work out, etc. Anyway, but in general, so what does it mean they have to meet? So at the time of the Gemara, they met. The marriages were arranged. And the meeting was that they had to have a simple meeting. You find some Chassidish menhagim, they have what's called a bashel. They meet one time, they make a decision, you know, everything has been arranged pretty much beforehand, etc. I once had a talent who was dating for about 4 or 5 years, and he asked me if I'd be willing to do that for him. And I said, just arrange it, and whoever it is, I'll trust you. I said, you really mean that? he saw I was very serious. He said, no. So the definition which we use, let's say in our circles, is we understand that the idea of meeting multiple times is to get to know the person. That's what the Gemara meant for our purposes, that you should get to know the person. But that being said, the Gemara was assuming there's a certain amount which is arranged and taken care of beforehand, and we're going now to just see if the people are comfortable being with each other, and that's the purpose of the dating process, is to get to that point. So a lot of information you're going to be getting beforehand. The Gemara, famous Gemara, the Rashi brings in Chumash, the idea of Yivduk Ba'cheh, you would look at the family and see whether, etc. Now, that being said, I'm not responsible for every person out there, the questions that they ask, why they ask them, whether they should be asking them or not. I'm not going to fix the system. Okay. But I do want to point out the following, that there are two types of questions. There are questions which you want to understand is this a marriage which we have a reason to be concerned to get involved in this marriage or not? That's the primary focus we're going to talk about in the shiur. There's another type of question is, should they spend their time meeting or not? Those are two different questions. Right, one question is it worthwhile to spend time together? So if the girl's goal is she wants to marry somebody who's going to start working immediately, and his goal is he wants to learn for the next 15 years, they shouldn't meet because it's a waste of their time. Right? So that's a simple question. We're not saying one is good, one is bad, etc. There's no Lashon Hara saying, well, she's a bad person, good person. The point is, let's save everybody time. That's not the main issue which we grapple with when we grapple with Lashon Hara. Is there something I have to be concerned about? If they do get married, there's something over there I have to be worried about. That's a different question. Right? Are these people, what's going to happen when they get married? So the question of the Eitz HaTov of saving people time, you have to figure out when is your responsibility to try and say, let's see if we can make this happen. Sometimes, you know, it's, you know, not really your responsibility. Do you have to get involved in that issue or not? You know what? She wants a working boy, but she may be willing to have a guy who's learning, so convince her it's worth it. If it's a stranger, it's one answer. And if it's somebody that you're close to, it's another answer. That's not a Lashon Hara Shidduchim question. That's a question of the responsibility of mentoring somebody, giving Eitzes Tovus, etc., which is part of our mitzvahs, etc. But is that that's not what I'm going to focus on tonight for the most part. We're going to focus on the most part of the question of the person saying, is there anything I have to be concerned about? And then these type of questions. So what are those questions? Okay. Next point. Many of you have heard of this idea that at some point in time there's information which the young man or the young woman has to share in the dating process. Not necessarily up front. They're going to share it somewhere along the process. What's the logic behind that? I want to just talk about the logic behind that. The logic behind that, this is not something which is just made up of. Rav Mersch actually mentions it in a tshuva. The situation where there was a young woman who had a lifestyle which made her that she had a certain state of being. Did she have to share this with a young man? She's now become a balas tshuva, and does she have to share that issue with a young man or not? Rav Mersch says, yes, she does. But not right away. As a matter of fact, you're not allowed to say it right away. And he says, why? He says, because once they get to know you and they see you as in context, as a whole person, they're going to put that in perspective, and they're going to possibly, and the shidduch might go through. If you say it up front, they're going to walk away. So what do you accomplish? You accomplish that you confess the sin for no purpose. You don't want to talk about sins for no purpose. You know, there's a pasuk which says that asher nesui peshek sui chato, pasuk in Tillim, that you're supposed to keep your sins private. We don't believe in the idea of confessionals. Right? And you don't go out there and say, you know, I did this. You know, you publicize all of my favors that I've done. That's nobody's business. That's to you and your creator. Actually, it's an insult to Hashem, the Gemara says. Talk about comfortably just talking about all my favors that I've done. So to share something I've done improperly with somebody, which is all it can accomplish is that you have no shidduch and you accomplish nothing, was a waste of a confession, which is therefore also, Moshe says. So when can you share it? After the person gets to know you and he sees your milas and he sees how sincere you are and he sees that this is behind you and that's a different lifestyle and you've changed your life. Now he has to be able to make that final decision. It's something which he should be aware of. You share it with him under those circumstances. And that's where Moshe says that this presents this idea. So it's a beautiful way of saying it. Right. So sharing something negative about yourself, whether it's an illness or whether it's the situation, it's an aveira or whatever it might be, there's a context when it should be shared. And that's a valid reason why we share these things. Okay, why do you have to share it? Why do you have to share it? So the Torah says, L'senu ish az amisai, that you cannot, there's an issue in the Torah of oino. Oino is cheating somebody. So now the scenario over there is dealing with a financial situation, but one of the Mefarshim of the Rambam says that the concept called ganevus das, fooling somebody. Fooling somebody goes into this pasuk as well. It's an issue deraisa. So if I believe that I'm marrying somebody who's X and really they're Y, I fooled them, I'm an over an issue deraisa. There's v'hatorecha kamoicha. I would like them to do that for me. I have a chiyuv to do that for them. There's one argument the Gemara says, the idea of hashavas aveda. Interesting. The Gemara says hashavas aveda. I have a responsibility to protect you from loss. Hashavas aveda doesn't only mean something is already lost. The Gemara says, let's say I see that the river is overflowing and I could put some sandbags and save your field. I'm a chayiv to do that. Why a shalom zaveda? If it's already lost, I'm a chayiv to give it back. Tal v'chorma, I'm a chayiv to stop a loss. Right? So, and I the example which I give is, I think there's a chayiv before you leave a building to turn off the lights. You could save the owner of the building all the costs, all the lights burning the whole night. So that's my chayiv of a shalom zaveda to prevent it. I see a loss taking place, lights are left on, and I have a chayiv to stop that loss. Okay, assuming that turning off the lights saves money, which I don't know, I haven't figured that out whether it does or it doesn't. But assuming that it does, right? That's what I would that I would be mechayev to do that. So this argument of shavas is to prevent a loss to somebody. It's not necessarily only the some service says the chiyuv to prevent a loss is not only a financial loss. Obviously, a loss which would be a loss of pain or anguish or frustration goes into this mitzvah as well. Okay, there is a mitzvah in the Torah of lifnei ver l'asitin mikshol. So most people are familiar with that. That idea is referring to do not cause somebody to sin. Do not facilitate, do not instigate, do not cause them to sin in some way. But actually Rashi says the second shot in the pasuk means do not give somebody bad advice. So I have responsibility not to make sure that this person is doing something which would be bad for them. If they're relying on me, there's a problem of giving an etzah shahar eno hagenis. Then there's this pasuk of l'saman adam riecha. The Torah writes it actually juxtaposes it immediately next to the pasuk of the isra of lashon hara l'sen derocha b'mecha l'saman adam riecha. So the piskei tshuva in Arachayim, in the Siman where the Magen Aram talks about the halachas of Lashon Hara, he says, you know, Lashon Hara is a very bad thing. But there's a worse sin of not sharing information and not saying Lashon Hara, quote unquote, and letting a person fall into a situation which is negative for them. For example, by a shidduch. So if I know something which is going, that this person is going to be damaged, and I stand idly by and I do not help them, it's like I'm seeing somebody drowning and I'm ignoring, saving them. So maybe it's only a situation of life-threatening situation. So the Chofetz Chaim brings proofs that this applies to the person losing money as well. So he discusses, I see that this person is about to walk into, he's about to get involved in a partner who's a shady fellow who's going to swindle him. I have an issue in the Torah to stand idly by and not help him. if I stand out of the vine and do not help him, I transgressed passively, but I transgressed an aveira in the Torah of l'samen adam riecha. So there are multiple reasons why we need to get involved. And the Mishnah Chofetz Chaim says, in that situation where I know the information, I have a chiv to get involved even if he doesn't ask me. I have a chiv to offer that information. So he says the same thing will be true in a case of if I see a person getting involved in a shidduch and I know that there's something, this family, he gives, you know, gives a few examples of what that is, where these are clearly things which would be detrimental to him and a person would not want them, and there's no doubt about it, I have a chiv to get involved and tell him, even if he did not ask me, and if I do not share, I'm over this transgression of l'samen adam riecha. There's multiple discussions about this question which comes up in the situation of a doctor. The doctor knows very private information, and there's HIPAA rules. Right? He's not allowed to share. Or he's made his Hippocratic oath, but he's not allowed. So there's a ramah in Yeridaya says a person's made a shvua, he promised, he made a shvua. He swore that he will not share certain information, and now that information will protect somebody from damage. So the ramah says that's called swearing to go against the mitzvah, and the shvua is not effective. And you're allowed to actually share it. That's how significant this responsibility is. If I could save a person from a loss, I have a mitzvah in the Torah to do that, and swearing against it is like swearing against the Torah, which doesn't take effect. That's how strong this concept applies. So the question, which there's multiple questions that come up with the situation with the doctor, would he be mechuyev to share, he or she be responsible to share information, which is negative, thereby potentially endangering their job? Because if they do not keep these laws, they can lose their license. So a person does not need, he's not mechuyev to lose their parnosa because of this mitzvah. So if it's endangering his parnosa, he would be allowed to. Now, if somebody's actually drowning, this becomes a very significant question, and I'm not getting involved in the medical issues. If there's a DNR out there, and I know I could save this person's life, the person that wrote a DNR. Am I mechuyev to save them against the DNR, which I would lose my license? Now, that's actual life. We're not talking about actual life, we're talking about saving him from a loss of anguish or financial loss. You're not mechuyev, the person would not be mechuyev to share in the situation. If a person has that shayla, halacha l'maisa, they should definitely be in touch with the Rav. Okay. That's some of the background. Well, now let's go to now to the understand Lashon Hara. I want to understand Lashon Hara. I think that that's not such a clear thing to people. What exactly is this Isser? We said there's Lashon Hara, it's Lashon Hara. What exactly is this of Lashon Hara? So I'm not going to give you all of Chofetz Chaim, so I'll say for in 3 minutes or less. But I think you can divide Lashon Hara into four categories. The four categories is, number one, there's an Isser to say something negative. Don't talk bad about people. Russia doesn't like us talking bad about people. So even if I know there's going to cause a person zero damage, the people I'm talking to are his best friends. They're not going to believe me at all. They're going to totally discount what I say. They're going to ignore what I say. There's going to be zero impact on the person at all. I have an isser of saying negative things about people. Number one. Number two, I have an isser of causing a person damage through speech. See, even what I'm saying is not negative. I actually think it's a good idea, what he's doing. I think it's a great idea. But I share it, and that's going to cause a person damage by being publicized, etc. It's also usur. So there's two separate issues. One is because I'm speaking negative speech. One is because I'm causing a damage. Both of those are separate isurim. Both of them are true. There's an isur of rechilus, which rechilus is defined by the Chofetz Chaim, is causing some type of medonim, some type of friction between people. So that's a specific area of damage. I'm going to cause friction between people. So besides the issue, the general issue of causing damage, if the damage is specifically causing friction between people, that is the issue of what's called rechilus. And then there's the issue of gilui sod, of revealing private things. Halach rochem agal asod, the pasuk says, and the Chofetz Chaim says that is a very significant type of lashon hara. Even if what I'm saying is not necessarily negative, and it's not going to cause him any damage, but it's a private thing. He has a right to his privacy, and I have the right to share it. So it's four different areas of isser. So whatever we discuss, said there are scenarios where we say that you're allowed to say lashon hara. We have to address all these four areas. So I'm going to say lashon hara to Ellis, but it's going to cause friction between people. Well, maybe I have a right to do that. I'm going to share, for example, this fellow was a swindler. Don't become his partner. Well, I'm not going to like him much because of that after that. That he's a swindler, you know. So you're going to create this friction. But that's a tawelis, and I'm going to say that's going to be mutter. But let's say I would create a situation where I share this information, and the person I'm sharing it with doesn't have such a good control of their tongue. They're going to say, well, Rabbi Rangel told me that. And they're going to, so now the person's going to hear that Rabbi Rangel, well, I'm not allowed to tell them. Even to save them from a loss, but if they're going to then seek lashon hara and create animosity between people because of it, I'm not allowed to do that. So there's a limit how far my letuelis is going to accomplish. Okay. There's a heter of lashon hara letuelis. You're allowed to say lashon hara if there is a beneficial purpose. So how do we understand that? So let's go to our four categories. So our first category was there's an issue of saying negative things. So what the Chazal are explaining to us, Chavetz Chaim is bringing his proofs, etc., is a general rule when it comes to issues between people. If my goal is not negative, but my goal is positive, and there's an overall a beneficial purpose, even if the dibur I'm saying is ra, it's not called ra. We define ra as if my goal is just to talk negative about people, that's a problem. If my goal is not, I don't want to talk negative about people, but I need to share this because there's going to be a positive result, that becomes now a positive thing. Now, I still have to be careful about the impact, the nezik. Is the nezik fair or not fair? And that would allow me to say, well, I have a heter of gilisoid. I'm allowed to share this private information to protect somebody else. So I have a chiyuv to protect that other person. I also have a chiyuv to protect you. I'm a third party. I have no responsibility to A more than B. So when I'm sharing information about A to B, I'm protecting B, but I'm hurting A. Right? So I have to take that into consideration as well. So the Chofetz Chaim says I have to think about what is the impact. If what I'm going to do is cause them a loss above and beyond what they deserve, I'm not going to say anything. If A is going to lose something because of what I'm saying, I have to consider what that is. So A is going to lose an opportunity to gain something. I'm allowed to take that away from him because I'm protecting B from a loss. But if A is going to lose something, so there's a difference between a case where shidduch already has been finalized and they're engaged. Right, so now A already has something. He has an engagement. I'm taking it away from him by sharing something with B. That's a whole different ball game than there's a potential of maybe getting a shidduch where it's not here yet. So we differentiate in halacha between a menias revach, preventing a gain, and an actual loss. So where they're holding in the process is going to be very significant. And there's probably, I would divide into three areas. There's the before the shidduch starts, the shidduch is holding towards the end, and the shidduch has actually been finalized. And I think there are three different levels of what is the concern that I'm allowed to say in those situations. Okay. That's all background. So we said, okay, it makes sense to ask some questions beforehand. It says that we understand that I have responsibility as a third party or as an individual myself to check these things out. I have responsibility to share information. I have to do it in such a way where it's not going to cause somebody a loss. So the Chofetz Chaim takes that and he makes it into eight rules. Okay, so what are the eight rules? The number one is, they can divide it into three sections. The first... four is how you actually say it. Okay, so number one is he feels that the information is it first hand or is it hearsay. If it's first hand, you have much more responsibility than if it's hearsay. You know this information. I know this information. I heard it. It's a possibility. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not true. So I have much more responsibility if I know something first hand. Certain situations, I cannot share it unless it's first hand. If it's going to cause a significant loss, I can't cause you a loss based on hearsay. I don't know it's true. If I know it's true, then I might have responsibility to cause you to address this issue. Even in a situation with shidduch, I'm right to say I heard this. I don't know if it's true. I have to share the fact that it's not firsthand. Okay. Number two, I have to know what is the information. I have to really consider exactly what am I sharing over here. What exactly is the truth over here? I might think that this is something negative, but really it's not really negative. I need to think about that. Number three, I can't exaggerate. If they're very careful not to exaggerate. Exaggerate, we don't exaggerate, but we use adjectives. right? So, I have a question. Is this person, does he have a temper? He doesn't have a temper, but he's a sort of like, he's quick to, you know, I'm trying to describe something. It's very hard to describe it exactly. So I have to be very careful with those phrases, because I can't say more than exactly what the person is. Maybe the shidduch would have went through, but I used the wrong word, and we have a problem. Number four, he says you have to have intent. Your intent has to be the tuelis. I don't like this guy. He gets on my nerves. He drives me crazy. I really would like, you know, that shidduch, he should get that shidduch. He doesn't deserve that shidduch. I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen. Right? That obviously would be a problem. So you want to have intent for the tuelis. Okay, numbers, that's number one is first hand. Number two, you have to consider what the true reality is. Number three, no exaggerations. Number four, intent. All of those are very relevant for shidduch. Number five is you have to minimize the lashon hara, which means that has two definitions, two applications. Number one, the amount which is said. If I can address this issue by saying a small amount, I should not say more than that. Number two, the amount of people who are involved in hearing this. I can't always use a third party. Using a third party is very questionable. I need the information, so I should call to get the information. Well, they're not going to tell me the truth. They'll tell you the truth. Okay, if that's true, then that's a valid reason to have another party involved. I'm not so comfortable calling people. I much prefer if you do it. So become comfortable doing it. I don't want to ask, so maybe you could learn. You know, so it's not just like, you know, hey, why don't you take care of me because I can't do this. Maybe that's true, and if it's true, you know, some people just can't. So then it's valid. As I was researching this year, I just came to give an example of this, not in the shidduchim purposes. So this is a question of a doctor. He has X amount of residents under him, and he has to give a report at the end of the year of their performance. So Rav Zilberstein says you cannot dictate this for Riyasha. You cannot dictate this to a secretary, because it's not the secretary's business. They don't have to know that. You need to know that, not the secretary. So you would have to write it yourself. You could have the secretary. You would have to leave out the names, and you fill the names afterwards, or write it yourself. If you can't have a secretary know that information, it's none of their business. He says, you know what? That applies to Menahalim in a school, and he applies it to a lot of other areas as well. You have to minimize the lashon hara. It's a tuelis. We have a right to give this information. The board needs to know that this fellow did well, etc. So he says, you're going to argue that when you went in, you agreed that the secretary writes these stuff, so you agreed to it. I didn't think I was going to get a bad report. I thought, I'm going to do great. I never agreed to the bad report up front. So there is a limit to the individuals involved. You should limit that. So that's minimizing it. Now, number six is not relevant to shidduchim. This is relevant to other areas. If I hear somebody can do something negative, I should try and speak to the person first to try and stop it. The place where it would be relevant to shidduchim is I shouldn't share the information if I believe the person is going to be sharing it. Now, I want to focus on this point over here. Rav Moshe said that the individuals involved have a chiyuv to share. If I believe the individuals involved are doing what they're supposed to be doing and sharing when they're supposed to be sharing it, I do not have a chiyuv to say anything, and it is usur for me to say something. This person has a mental health issue, but I know they're going to share it in the process of dating. So somebody calls and says, does this person have a mental health issue? It's none of my business. I have no right to say it, and I'm usur to say it. Why? Because in the process, like Immersion said, after they know the person, they might actually say yes. But if I share it up front, they're going to say no. So I damaged that person. I have to save another person. What am I saving him from? A few dates? That's not called saving him. The Losan Lebriyecha is not the issue of dating. Losan Lebriyecha is the issue of getting married in a relationship which is not fair to them. That I have to save them from. I don't have to save them from dates. Dates are challenging, they're emotional, etc. That's not what we're saving somebody from. So there's a case where it's not worth their time. Okay, that's a different type of conversation. Like you said, that example in the beginning. But if I believe the person's going to be following halacha and will be sharing the information when they should, somewhere along the process, I have no chiyuv to share any negative information, and I'm not allowed to share the negative information. What they ask me, I don't know. Do you know anything else about that? I don't. If you need to lie, I have to ask my rabbi, I'll get back to you. Is it not a good answer? Right? Believe me, I've heard that line, along the way. Like, really? Did you just say that? Now, there are certain situations that's not a bad answer, because I don't want to say something, and I'm not really supposed to, but I'm allowed to hint, so that's a good hint. But in the average situation, so if I believe that the person should be sharing, and I know them well, and they, if I would speak to them, they might actually share it themselves, so then I should do that. I should speak to them. They should share it, not me. But in most cases, that issue is not relevant. Okay, so that's the other. You have to explore other options. You have to minimize if possible. And then you have to worry about the effect, the impact that you're going to make with your speech. So he says, that's number 7. Number 8, you can't tell to someone who's going to spread it. That's not fair impact. I have a right to share it. That person needs to know to protect himself. That they should start spreading rumors about the person. That's an impact beyond what they deserve. So I have no right to share it with that person. So if I believe this person, if I tell them, please don't share it, and they will listen to me, fine. But I believe it's not going to happen. You know what? Do you know, I'm not sure. I'm causing him a loss, yeah, but I also have to consider the loss of the other person. They're going to spread the rumor. Well, Rabbi Reingold said that this person has a mental health issue, and they're going to put a big sign on the street, by the entrance of 495. Rabbi Reingold said, thank you very much. You know, I can't do that. I have no right to do that to that other individual. And number 8, he talks about this issue of, in a case where there is potential of Menias Ravach or Hefsid Mammon, or etc. It cannot go beyond what halacha would require. He talks about, for example, a case of a financial loss. If normally you'd have to go to Bez and you need to aid him, and only one aid, I can't say anything. Because in Bez, it wouldn't stand in Bez then. So this is going to be a financial loss, which would be a financial loss, which means you would have a bezin adjudicate that. A bezin to adjudicate that needs to aid him. I'm only one aid. I don't know, so I can't say anything, because I would cause him a loss beyond what he deserves. So I have to be aware of that. Okay, now let's apply these rules to the world of shidduchim, which is why you came today. Okay, again, this is all assuming that the person himself is not sharing what they're supposed to be sharing. If they're sharing what they're supposed to be sharing, my responsibilities become much less. Okay, the first issue is, we said that there's the areas of, I have to consider, is this, I have to take into consideration, is what is really the reality over here? Okay, I have to know when the person is asking what their expectations are. If I don't know what their expectations are, it says, I want a person who's a learner. I don't know what the word learner means. Right? What is the famous story that somebody came to Panovich Rav and says he wants the best Bacher in Panovich? The Panovich looked at the fellow and says, this fellow really is not probably in the caliber looking for the best Bacher in Panovich. Why do you want the best Bacher in Panovich? He says, well, my neighbor got a son-in-law and they gave him an Aliyah Haftarah and he couldn't read the Haftarah. I don't want that to happen to me. Oh, so you want someone who's able to read the Haftarah, not the best Bacher in Panovich. Right? But I want the best Bacher in Panovich, So I thought, he's not the best Bacher in Panovich. I have to understand what the person's asking before I answer that question. Is he yeshivish? I have no idea what that word means. I don't know what the word means. What do you mean by the word yeshivish? Right? Do you mean the person has Yerushalayim? Yes, he has Yerushalayim. Do you mean the person keeps halacha? Yes, he keeps halacha. The person learns daily? Yes. I mean, the davens? Yes. What do you mean by yeshivish? Well, he's yeshivish. I said, I can't help you. And I've told people, I'm not sure what the word means. I can't answer the question. Right? Do you mean that the person walks hunched over? No, he doesn't walk hunched over. What do you exactly are picturing? Well, does he wear white shirts? I've got that, answer. As I said, in your city, that's a definition. In my city, that's not a definition. So that's irrelevant. That's an irrelevant question. Okay, I need to know what the person, when he's asking information, what he's asking. The second point I need to consider is sometimes this is information which it shouldn't be my responsibility to answer in that question. The Chofetz Chaim gives an example which is not relevant nowadays, but I'll give you maybe an example which is relevant. I'll give you an example. He says, is a person a good learner? The standard way which was used at the time of Chofetz Chaim is you'd go to a Rav and you would have him get tested. So take him to Rav and have him tested. And if you didn't, that's your it's your loss. Tough luck on you. I'm not going to answer that question because you should have done the standard procedure. So let's say I could call up and ask, I have a relative who lives in that city who will give me information. Well, actually, relative actually has a responsibility to give information, the Chofetz Chaim says, and maybe at a higher level than somebody else. And I choose not to ask my relative, whatever reason. So your relative could give, I'm not mechuyav to give that information. You should ask your relative. Okay. Now, the next part of this area of considering what exactly is the issue, the Chofetz Chaim says there are three levels of information. There's something called what he calls a chesaron. This is a very important point. He says there's something which he calls a chesaron otsum, a significant issue. Which means, the definition of significant issue means that the vast majority of people would not agree to this in a shidduch. That is information which the Chofetz Chaim holds you need to share whether you're asked or not. We'll go through some examples. I have a page and a half of some examples of that. Okay. The second level is something which is not a chesor notzum. If you're makbid, you're makbid. Well, how do I know if you're makbid or not? I see from your questioning that you're makbid. That this is something which, this is significant to you. Now, if the person just reading a laundry list of questions, because that's what they were told to, by the rabbi, ask these questions, that doesn't mean anything. He said, you hear the robotic reading of a list, that's not it. But if the person clearly is asking about the information, I need to know, is this person organized? That's very significant to me. The person should be an organized person because I'm very organized. I cannot live with somebody who's messy. Okay. I don't have to share up front, you know, this person is a slob. I don't have to say that to people. That's not a chesaron notzum. Some people like that, you know, like, I don't know. But if the person tells me that's very significant to them, so now I need that information that I, if, and for me, I would not go ahead with such a shidduch. I cannot live with that. Okay, now the person told me that, I have to answer that question. Do I have to share that information up front? The assumption is no. Unless the person asked about that question. You know, describe the person. He's really messy. I don't have to share that information about him, that he's really messy. If you ask me about that issue, now I know that's something which is significant to you, and I have to answer that question. Then there are stam information. Stam information can mean either things which will easily be seen on a date. So then we get involved in this other question, is it something which we want to save you time? That's not a Lashon Hara issue. It's not necessarily negative or positive. So many of these things are not necessarily negative or positive. Is he tall? Is he short? I mean, you know, he might be tall, he might be short, you know, but whatever those might be, learning or working, that example, that's not necessarily negative or positive, right? But that's stam information. So there's nothing wrong with me sharing that. And then you will use that information. There's no negative element involved in it at all. It might be what you're looking for, might be you're not looking for. Some of those things might sometimes border on Lashon Hara, depending on what words you use. You know, is he conservative in his spending or is he liberal in his spending? That's one way of saying it. That's not necessarily negative or positive. He's a miser. You know, he's a spendthrift. That's a different word. Miser and spendthrift come with negative connotations. Conservative versus liberal are statements. So depending how you say it, that those are the considerations. You need to know which level of we're dealing with. We'll get back to that. Okay, the first-hand versus hearsay, obviously, is important. Obviously, your intent is important. And the Chofetz Chaim says the heter of intent of L'Toelis also means you have to know that's going to be beneficial. You know what? They're holding by finalizing. It's going to go ahead anyway, but they just want no more information just to be more comfortable with it. You can't answer that question anymore because it doesn't make a difference what you say. Right? At this point in time, they already decided they're going to go ahead with it unless there's like a major bombshell, which that's something else. But if it's not going to make a difference, so you can't, the person should not be asking, you cannot be answering. So it's not going to. Somebody gave an example. There was a shidduch which the motivation for the shidduch was, there were multiple motivations for the shidduch to go ahead, and there was negative information. And the person hinted to it, they didn't buy it. They were so interested in going ahead with the shidduch, they didn't want to buy the negative information. So you have no hetter to say the negative information in that situation. If you know that that's true already, so you have no hetter, then there's no hetter, there's no purpose of that. Okay, minimize Lashon Hara, the amount which is said, we mentioned that, in regard to third parties. someone who will spread information. And we spoke about the impact pre-shidduch, the middle of the shidduch, or post-shidduch. Okay. That's all the introductions. Okay. Now for the moment, you can start yelling at me. Okay.
Ask you a question?
Yeah.
So let's say this lab. Okay,
the non-organized person.
The disorganized person. If you know that the disorganized person is going to say it later on in the dating process, if it's going to come out that they're disorganized, are you allowed to answer that question of the questioner who asks, is this a disorganized person or not?
So, okay, it's a fair question. And let me rephrase the question. In other words, in regards to this of Lashon Hara, there's no hetzel Lashon Hara because there's no toilet in Lashon Hara because it'll be done, taken care of by the individual himself. If I can share it in a way where I'm not saying anything negative about the person and I'm saving them the time of the date, so then there's an Eitzah Tova issue of saving them the time of a date. If I know that this person is the most organized person in the world and they will not marry anybody unless this person has studied Emily Post, what's her name is, right? Whatever, right? Like, and those are backwards and forwards. That's, you know, so I don't have to say the guy's, I say, you know what? He's not the level of organization which you're looking for. Why don't you save yourself time? That's nothing, there's no Lashon Hara there because there's nothing negative. If I say he's a slob, that's Lashon Hara, right? So that then it would be also to say it. So if I could say it, but then again, so that goes into the group of things which there's no Lashon Hara involved, and then there's a question of why not give a person, now I don't have to save him from a danger, but I could just question, I could just save him some time. That's an Eitzah Tova. Eitzah Tova, you can't say Lashon Hara for Eitzah Tova, it's just Eitzah Tova.
Excuse me, can I ask?
Yes.
Is this really a question that people ask about a shidduch?
Which one?
They're organized or not.
Yes.
There are different levels, and it's too much to give at the very beginning. To just say, throw it away. I mean, I'm sorry.
I'm not fixing the system. Okay. I just want to address that question a little bit. There are certain things which we're going to say which are significant, because most people will agree that they are
like
significant.
Illness maybe or whatever. Okay.
There are certain things which, you know, whatever reason, people get stuck on. Now, if I am their mentor, I might work with them to get them unstuck. Okay? Let's say I'm not their mentor, and I think they're getting stuck in something which I believe is really not relevant to marriage. Like, you know, is he a mechadish in learning? Does he create new novel thoughts in learning? 3 o'clock in the morning when he's diapering the baby, you ask him, you know, do you have a good kiddush before you diaper the baby or not? Is that really relevant? He's not, that's not the issue. You're the Rosh Hashiva's daughter, and he's going to come next Rosh Hashiva of the yeshiva, maybe. But otherwise, like, really? But, you know, somebody gets stuck on that. So, what's my responsibility? Say, if I'm their mentor, I should try and deal with them. Let's say the situation, I'm not their mentor, and at best, I'm going to maybe try and convince them to go ahead with this shidduch, right? You know, so you know what I'm telling you. He's really, you know, he's not a machadish, but he's, you know, he's a lamed, and he's, you know, this, you know, I give him all these words. Okay, great. You know, I'll go ahead with it anyway. Okay, we're going with I have responsibility to somebody else. So my neighbor has a business, and the manager is really a lazy guy, and he really is not on top of what he has to do. So I'm equipped to go manage his business for him, because it's lo sam l'mareach. He's losing money every single day. And he's not, he can't get on the manager. I should quit my job and go manage his business to save him from a loss of money. It's not my responsibility. Right? So if I'm not going to fix this person's attitude, saving this one shidduch is not necessarily, that's like trying to fix his business. Right? If I can, it's a one-time thing, they got confused, I can maybe do something. And I can get them to go to the shidduch, maybe I should try. But at some point in time, you realize that this person is stuck in it. I'm not going to fix them, whether I should or I shouldn't. They have a right to be makbid. Whether they should or they shouldn't is an issue. I agree with some of the questions I find ridiculous, but they're not really relevant to married life, to being a good spouse, parent. But people get stuck in them. Okay, so the first group is chisrein atzumim. So I'll start with some cases which are mentioned in halacha. So the Shulchan Aruch says if a person's this man of the time of the Shulchan Aruch, till quite recently, when people would get engaged, they would make a cheirim, that they can't break out of the shidduch without being over a cheirim, which is a very chumrah thing. So that they're breaking a shidduch was very, very significant in halacha, and there's a whole genre of halacha dealing with what's a valid reason to break a shidduch. So it gives you like a fascinating definition. There's a tshuva from the Noda B'Yehuda's son, where the father of the young woman wants to break the shidduch because the young man one time touched her inappropriately, and also he has not written her any letters the whole time that they've been engaged. He says, you know, the fact that the person gets a yetzahara one time, that doesn't mean anything. No letters, he's not a man, she could break the shidduch. Okay, right? No response to that.
You're digesting.
I'm not a rabbi anymore. Like, you know, the veira part, no. But the fact he's not a man, you can break the shidduch. Really? Okay. I'm sorry. I thought the fascinating truth. Okay, I guess not.
So what happened?
He broke the shidduch. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch says a case where the sister of the Muduberis became converted to a different religion. You can break the shidduch because of that. If that, it's something in the family, if a sister wrote, you could break the shidduch because of that. Nadi Behuda is a case where the grandfather converted to a different religion, and he held you could break the shidduch because of that. Okay, the stipend asked the question of a from family, one of the children went off of Derek. He says that's not a reason not to go into a shidduch.
Yeah,
okay.
That's today.
Yeah. This. Okay. The individual involved is father was not Jewish, the mother was Jewish. So the person is not a gerer. They're Jewish, but it was from a relationship which was usher. They were born from a relation which is usher. So the psak halacha on that is you would have to share that information. The Shulchan Aruch says that you should not. It's not an iser. But the Mor says it's a Gemor actually in the passage of Shulchan Aruch, marrying a woman who comes from a mishpachas mitzrayim. If there's people which have leprosy in the family, you should not marry such a woman. Or people have epilepsy in the family, nichven. We'll get to nowadays. What's the status of epilepsy? It might be different nowadays. Okay. The Mor says only if it's muchzik. It's been established that this family has this three times. There's three people in the family who have this issue, then you should not get involved in such a shidduch. Okay.
So how did they get married?
What's
muzak? How they get married? So the Mordon says it's also. The Mordon says you just advise against it. So if you have somebody who's from the same situation, would marry such a person. Okay.
So you have to say that ahead of time. Is that what you're saying?
You would have a chiyuv. The individuals involved would have a chiyuv to share at some point along the process.
But not
a
third
family
part.
History of epilepsy, not
when asked or things.
So these are things which, if an outside, if I know they're not sharing it, if I know the individual is not sharing it, and I know the information, I would have a chiyuv to share information even without being asked. Okay. The situation where a woman was not a psula, so that they tell you from Mersha. A person has cancer. They have it presently. What do we say? So they had it years back and they don't have it anymore. We'll get to that. Okay. A person has a mental health issue. Now that's quite a broad statement. Mm-hmm. You know, what does that mean? They have ADD, you know, or they have borderline personality disorder, they have schizophrenia. What does that mean? Assuming that there's some level where they where that would be an issue. Question double the child equation, person who attempted suicide. Does the individual have, does it have to be shared? The doctor knows the person attempted suicide, would they have to share the information? And actually the Mechlokes of the modern Poskim, Rabbi Yashiv holds yes, and Rosh Hashanah, held if that was a period of time back, and right now the doctors say that the person's healed, you would not have to share that. The person is not able to have children, male or female. Person is addicted. Now, addicted to what? To smoking? Right? Let's assume for the person is addicted to drugs, significant drugs. That's something with the person's a ganav. Person is has uncontrollable temper. the person did a significant avera once upon a time. The Dayan Weiss was asked this question. A person did a significant avera at one point in their life. They committed tzicha. They murdered somebody. They don't do it anymore. They haven't done it in years. Right.
Is
that
really a child? I'm saying
a person the tshuva.
Again, so the person has to share it, and if they're not sharing it, then someone else has to say it. Is that what you're saying?
Right. So, and he said again, you let the person get to know you and realize that was the person that was a previous life. He doesn't do it anymore. It's a different person. Get to know him, get to know her, and you say, you know what, okay, in context, you know, it's worth it to take a chance, right?
How are you supposed to know whether or not they share it or not?
Right. How are you supposed to know? So if you assume that the person is someone that you know basically is involved in keeping a halacha and asks aces from a rav, etc., you could assume that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Let's say you know they've told you, I'm not sharing it. So then you know you can tell the person you know that they have a responsibility to share, and if not, you know, you could tell them I have a responsibility to share. I can't let somebody get involved in a situation which is negative to them. It's not fair to them. You could tell them up front. Let's say you don't know. So I've searched in the poskim on this question, and I have not got an answer. Like, and then you know, where do you draw the line with what I don't know whether they're going there sharing or not? So I have a chiyuv to step in. The argument being, well, it's a suffix mitzvah deraisa of l'samad abriyecha. It's also a suffix mitzvah deraisa of lashon hara. So the assumption would be shei baltasa that I do not have to get involved. Okay, if I really don't know. If I really don't know, I pass it that you don't have to say.
Do you ask?
What?
Do you ask them if they're going to be sharing it?
If you have a relationship with them, you should attempt to. Really, the best thing, they should be sharing it, not you. Okay, so then we said that's some of the examples of chesaron tzumah which the post can give. We have another end of the spectrum, things which are stam. Is he tall? Is he short? I don't mention, by the way, there's a fascinating Gemara in Bukharis. The Gemara says that a very tall man and a very tall woman should not marry because they'd end up with a child who's a Torin, who's a, like a light bulb, like a... what's the word for it? The mast of a ship. And it says very short people, two of them shouldn't marry either, it says, because they'll end up with, like, you know, an etzba. Right? So, but the more just saying, you know, it's not brought down in the law anywhere. So I don't know, nowadays the modern wisdom is you marry two tall people, you marry two short people. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, the more didn't say like that. Learning versus working. Is he spontaneous versus calculated? That's a very, very power of words, right? Right? Is he? There's other ways of saying it, which it could be negative. If you say it like that,
what? If you say it like that, if you're asked like that, you could say it.
So the point I'm saying it like this: spontaneous or calculated? If the person doesn't ask the question, so I don't have to. I don't have to share that. If the person asks the question and it indicates that is something significant to them, which means that they would not go ahead with the shidduch if this person is very spontaneous. They need somebody who's very, very thought out and very. Right? If that's what they're going to say, if that would be then I have a responsibility to share it for them. Let's say they're not asking me. I happen to know this is important to them. So now, again, marrying somebody who's spontaneous is not the end of the world. I mean. Okay. My wife is, by the way, is much more organized than I am, and calculated than I am. But I might save them some dating time. They'll discuss this in a date. They'll figure this out. But I could save them some dating time. So that's if it's lashon hara, that's not a heter to save them some dating time. If I say it's spontaneous or calculated, that's not lashon hara. There's nothing negative over there, so then I could say it's some dating time. If I start saying it in words which are negative, have negative connotations, that's lashon hara. Then I have to figure out what I'm trying to save them from. From two dates, that's not a heter. To save them from getting into a marriage which they're really not going to be happy with, that's a responsibility. So I would have to hear from them that that's important to them. Okay, conservative versus liberal spending, outdoorsman versus homebody, you know? Okay, all right? He loves taking nature walks. Well, there's nothing positive or negative about that. That's the person, you know? So I can share that. There's no reason why I can't share that. I need somebody who stays home all the time. Okay, you know, like, you know, if that's what you need, you know? Right? Now, you have to be careful again. It's all in context when the person's asking the question, right? Is this person organized? Oh, yes, he's very organized. Oh, it's not going to work out. This girl is really messy. He's not so organized, really. You know, you have to know what the person's asking. You know, what is the person, what's their goal, you know? Okay, then you have the middle madregas, which many people would perceive it as a chesaron, but it's not automatic. And then again, that depends on questioning. So, the example of smoking. Many people don't like that, some people don't mind that. You know, if they ask you, they ask you. If they don't ask you, I don't know whether that bothers them or not. Is a person impulsive? Tightwad versus spendthrift. You know, that's the negative way of saying conservative versus liberal spending. Right? Is he a tightwad or is he a spendthrift? Does he have a rav or a mentor? Some people like, people are very independent. And some people, the dafka wants somebody who has a rav or a mentor. Does he have money? Right, I don't know. You know, that's an objective thing. You know, does she have money? What's her attitude towards money? I need to share up front. You know, this person has no money. Why am I sharing that? I don't have to share that up front. Right? If that's something, a couple of times, if that's something which people would potentially look as a reason not to get involved in a shidduch, but really it's not really significant at all, I shouldn't share it. If the person tells me I will not go with somebody who doesn't have a lot of money, I should try and convince them that that's ridiculous, because that's not how you define a marriage. But if I can't, so I would... Okay.
So then what? If you can't, then you have to...
And the person clearly indicated that's important. They asked about it, so then I have a chiyuv to share it. If they didn't ask about it, I don't have a chiyuv to share it. Appearance. You know, is he handsome? Is she pretty? Like, I don't know what those words mean. Had a young man way back at the beginning of my career being involved in shidduchim. He said that he was a baal tshuva. He came, you know, he's involved in whatever. He needs a very pretty girl. He suggested a shidduch. I think she was pretty. I don't know. I mean, like, you know, I thought she was pretty. No, not pretty enough, you know. Right? Next girl, not pretty enough. Finally gets engaged, you know, so I said, okay, let's, you know, meet the girl. She looks the same as all the other ones. I don't know. And maybe I'm not a big maven in looks, but I don't, they look the same to me, you know, like, you know, it's pretty, I don't know. She has a really beautiful personality. So he liked the way she looked. So I don't know, I would tell the guys, by me, looks is 70% a person's personality and 30% physical looks. Right, that's how I define it for the guys, the ones who ask me. But I can't put adjectives. You know, he's really not becoming. He's ugly. You know, like, you know, I don't know, like, he's not. I don't know what he, you know, some movie star. I don't know. You know, like, you know, he's not. You know, it's fine. You know, but, you know, he looks like an average fine yeshiva man to me, etc. Okay, now the Chofetz Chaim says a fascinating thing in section number two. In section number two, let's say the person asking me is a relative, a close friend, a Talmud, a member of my kahila, etc. In other words, they are going to be relying on my information more than an average person. So now, if I don't share something, I'm basically putting them into a shidduch, which they're relying on my opinion. Now I get involved in the issue of suggesting for them a shidduch, which they don't want. They didn't ask me, but I know that money is very important to them. And I've tried multiple times to convince them that money is not important, and I'm not moving them. Okay, so that's their right to decide that. Okay?
Which side are you close to? The side who's asking?
The side who's asking.
Okay, good.
Okay? And now they come and they call me and says, you know, finish out that shidduch. I know that this shidduch, these people have no money. They didn't ask me about the money. The Chabad Chaim said, I have a chiyuv to share that information. Because now, if I don't, I am pushing them into a shidduch which they don't want. Because they're relying on me more than just an average, some stranger, but because I am their Rav, I am their Rebbe, I am their relative, I am their close friend. And if I'm not saying anything, it must be that it's okay. So the Chabad Chaim says that when it comes to these individuals, the responsibility of sharing the middle section becomes different. Even if they don't ask, if I know it's important to them, whereas if I be a stranger, I have no key to talk about it. All right? They didn't ask me whether he smokes or not. All right? So I don't have to share that. I don't assume that they have a problem with it. Right? But if it's somebody that, and if I know they do it, that's not my responsibility. That they should ask somebody that they have who's they're close to them, etc. But if they're asking me and I'm their relative, I would have a key to share that information, the Chabad Chaim says. Okay. Now, you're coming to, let's flip the table around, you're asking questions. You're coming to ask questions for shidduch information. So, the first thing, you have to inform the person why you're asking the question. Okay. You're asking for shidduch information. If I realize that some information is not going to make a difference to me, I shouldn't be asking about it. You know, well, you know, what was he like in 10th grade? Like, who cares? I know that I'm not going to care about the answer anyway. So I'm just curious, you know. What was she like in 10th grade? You know, like, she's 28 years old now. Like, you know, like, what was she like when she was 14? Like, but it's, I'm just, you know, why not? You know, just curious. Was she really, like, wild when she was in high school? Like, you know, like, who cares? I'm not going to make a difference. I should not ask that question. The Chabad Chaim says, you're not allowed to believe anything that you hear. Maybe there's a detail which I'm missing. Maybe the person, he's a smart person, he's giving information, but maybe there's something that he missed. I don't know what the real reality is. I'm allowed to be choishish for the possibility. It means I have to take it, I can take it into consideration, but I don't know for sure what the reality is on the ground. Maybe there's one more detail that this person doesn't know, which changes the whole story of what happened. So I'm not allowed to believe any information that I hear. I'm allowed to hear the information, I'm allowed to process the information and use it. I might even be allowed to share it with somebody else as long as I say that I don't know it firsthand. So I call information, the person says, so Rebbe, so what did the person say? You know, what? You know, somebody said that there's a concern over here. I don't know if it's true or not, but there's this concern that I heard. It's a possibility. I'm allowed to share that. Why are they using me and not themselves? Why? Because they understand when I ask a question, the people are going to give me, for better or for worse, that's what happens. A lot of times, somebody of stature asks a question, you'll get a better answer than, I call him as Rebbe, I get the same standard answer. You call, Rabbi so-and-so calls up, they're not going to, you know, play games with him, they're going to tell him the truth. Okay, what, do I like that reality? I don't like the reality, that's the way it is. I can't ask somebody which, I know that, you know, the two of you have been in a fight, can you give me the details of that fight? What's really the background? I know that this shidduch broke off. Can you tell me why he broke off the shidduch? Maybe she's harboring a little bit of anger towards him, and she's not saying it letoelis, or she's not saying it exactly the way it happened. She's saying her version, or he's saying his version. I can't ask that person. I can ask a third party. Listen, you were involved in the shidduch. You know that the shidduch broke off. Is there anything I have to be? Is there something which I have to be concerned about? I got a question recently. Person involved in the shidduch. The shidduch broke off, and somebody else looking into the shidduch. I want to know, was the reason why it broke off because of mental health? No. So I want to know. Okay, that's a fair question. Straight answer. Answer is no. Goodbye.
You can't play 20 questions.
You can't play.
No, I'm saying, like, was it about mental health? Was it about, like?
It's none of your business. Mm-hmm. I'm protecting myself. I'm not getting a heter to for the gossip column. I need to protect myself, right? Yeah. Why did shidduchim break off? For many different reasons, you know. Is it because she found out the guy has? You know, I mean, that's not the fact that shidduch broke off. Let's talk about the person. I already checked out the person. The certain person seems to be fine. Maybe there's something hidden there I don't know about. So, you know, there's nothing hidden that we know about. Mm-hmm. I can't be asking questions once the shidduch is finalized. What are you asking questions now for? I had that situation young man and a woman ready decided, everything's ready to go ahead. The father starts calling me. He says, I never really asked any questions about the boy. Like, now you're asking me. And he said, he's a great guy. Make your daughter very happy. Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Are there any difference in the halachos when it comes to the either one or both parties being divorced and there's
no
reason for divorce?
No, that is a very. I know they were married, they got divorced. Is there something I have to be concerned about now? So the real answer is, if I believe there's something I have to be concerned about, the answer is no. So, well, I want to know why they got divorced. None of your business why they got divorced. Mm-hmm. It says, now, you might think that maybe I'm really hiding something and I'm saying, because I don't want to say anything. I said, what I try and do when people call for information is, we learned this lesson very early on that people don't necessarily take what you're saying at face value. Like, some people, their attitude is, whatever you're saying, obviously, you're exaggerating, so we're going to cut it in half. So say the person's average means they're really stupid. Average intelligence means, they have 65 IQ. So you have to say they're, really, really smart. It means they're average. I tell people in front, I'm not like that. He says, if you're going to deal with me, you need to deal with me. I'm going to give you the answers to the best of my ability, as honest as possible. Please don't discount what I'm saying. I said, and I tell you that it's not relevant for you to know. It's not relevant for you to know. If you don't trust me, so why are you calling me? And I had a situation where one time I very rarely have hung up on people who call. It happened one time I did that. I said, I'm sorry, I see that you don't really trust what I have to say. I have nothing to share with you. Have a good day. And I hung up the phone. Very rarely do I do that. regards to the personal appearance, I'm allowed to ask about personal appearance, but again, I would try and advise the person that the person should try and put it in perspective, the person who's getting the answer, and I really, I should be an intelligent person to understand that reality. One last point I want to talk about is the situation where parents versus children. Right, so the parents are doing the research for the children, and the parents are over researching. Mm-hmm. They're asking questions which are not relevant for the child. Really, would be happy to go out. Even so, and I'm the nishal. I'm being asked a question, and I know that that's the reality, that the parent is over compensating for the child. And the parent's saying, "Listen, I'm going to get involved in the shidduch. I don't want it unless there's X, Y, and Z." The girls are like, "Really, couldn't care less." Mm-hmm. I want to get married already, and that's not so important to me. So, what are the so I found one person who spoke about it, and he said, "Well, once the children have allowed the parents to do the research, they sort of are making them their shluchim, and they're sort of stuck with it." Mm-hmm. I don't like that answer because I think that the person who's being asked. So he says, "I why should the poor girl lose because the father is a mishugana?" Excuse me for saying it that way. Right? Or the mother, she shouldn't. Right? So she needs to try and speak to her parents about it. But, some point in time, will the shidduch be able to go ahead if she agrees to it and they don't agree to it? If you could get that to work, so the whole genre of questions, are you allowed to marry, I'll keep it up with Amy, are you allowed to marry some of your parents do not want you to marry? The law is yes. Right. It's a remor.
But if they're not observant, worthy in some objective way,
then obviously the person shouldn't be getting
Yeah.
Right. But getting back to this question of, if I'm not going to change the parents, and the parents, whatever reason, is doing the research, so I get back to my question of, do I have to manage this girl's life or this boy's life? That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to, this situation, I'm going to speak in such a way that maybe the shidduch will go ahead even though the parent won't let it. Or maybe the shidduch won't go ahead even though the parents will let it. But it's only one shidduch, right? The next one, I'm not going to be able to control because they're not going to ask me necessarily. Right? So now you're asking me to, all of a sudden, become the manager for the girl or boy's life vis-a-vis their parents. So if I could do that, maybe I have do I have time to do that? Do I have a chiv to do that? But if it's a one-time thing, which I can maybe move them forward towards something, you know, they're asking about the money. You know what? The money is not so significant. I know the money is significant. It's a wonderful guy. It's a wonderful girl. Let's go ahead with the shidduch. He's 28. The girl is 26 already. Let's move ahead with the shidduch. Stop with the money. Right? I said, you know what? They're very comfortable. Nice. You know, right? They are very comfortable. Right? You know, if I can do that, why not? Right? But if I'm going to get this one shidduch ahead, and then after that, I can't keep managing, you know, Mr. So-and-so from Chicago, from New York, and I'm not going to sit there and tap his phone, like every time he makes a shidduch phone call, I should, by the way, I'm not able to do that. So I'm not mechuyev to try. It's an eitz toiva, it's a chesed, it's an mechuyev, it's not mechuyev, but if I could try and do something, why shouldn't I help? Okay, that's what I wanted to share. I'm open to questions. Yeah.
A mental health question that you get directly about a parent of, let's say I'm getting a call about a friend, and they ask a direct question about the parent, and I'm pretty sure that she would eventually...
So you shouldn't say anything.
Okay.
So you say, I'm not really, I really don't know.
And I can assume...
What do you mean, he's your uncle? No, you lived in his house. I don't know,
And I can assume that she'll disclose it based on the fact that she's...
Assuming that a person who has a mentor who's directed them, etc. You know, if you know the person like that, I would assume that's true. Yeah.
Well, I can't help but think about there was actually an email going around. The imaot and the ava might not have been able to get a shut off today. We have to think about Rivka. I mean, is it really? I'm just trying to think of the word. I mean, it just seems like it's, I hate to say unfair, but to hold the child in a way, accountable for whatever the parent's illness is. I mean, should that really, maybe I'm not hearing it right, but should that really make a difference? The parent has a mental health issue or a physical health issue?
Okay, again, you're asking me what I would like to be the reality on the ground. You're asking me, are people out there machped on it? Yes, people are makbid on it. Do they have a right to be makbid? They have a right to be makbid. They have a right to be makbid whenever they want. I only want to marry a person who's 4, who's 5, 3.5. I mean, that's the only person I want to marry. Not less and not more. I mean, you're crazy, but you have a right to be makbid. It's your life. I can't, so I can't say they don't have a right to be makbid. They have a right to be makbid. Should they be makbid? No, they shouldn't be makbid. But I'm not going to change the system. Is marrying into a family where the father has an uncontrollable temper, even though the girl is the nicest person in the world, a difficult situation? Yes, I have a right to, I don't want to get married. I don't want to marry in such a situation. Right? In a situation where a young man, the father had a borderline personality disorder, and he terrorized his family. Right? So did the young man want to get involved in such a marriage? Right? The girl's the most wonderful girl in the world. Is it fair to the girl? The Russia runs the world. I have to understand the Russia runs the world. Right? I'm a Baal Tshuva, so there are certain children which wouldn't look at me because I'm a Baal Tshuva. I married the most wonderful person in the world, Baruch Hashem. The Baruch Hashem it makes things work, that's what I said. That's where Bashir plays a role. You have to understand that a certain amount, the Baruch Hashem, don't worry about it. The Baruch Hashem is, I'm not going to, it's going to work out. The Baruch Hashem is going to find a way to make this work out with all the people's cheshbonos, which aren't fair. Right, so, would the question, would the Imos and the Ovis get married? It's a cute question.
And his father,
It's a cute question, but I don't see it. What's the purpose of that question? I want to say that the people out there should have different attitudes. They should or they shouldn't, but I'm not going to change that. So, yeah. Any more questions?
You know the family background means a lot to somebody, and perhaps that they wouldn't even want to date that person if they knew of a particular family background. Would that be something you would disclose in advance?
That's the middle section. So if they ask about it, I have a chiyuv to share it, or if it's somebody who's relying on me, I have a chiyuv to share it. Otherwise, I don't have a chiyuv to share. They didn't ask, I don't have a chiyuv to share. Okay, thank you very much. There's a men's shiur.